श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
भगवद्गीता यः
यः
पश्यति स
पश्यति स
पश्यति
पश्यति
यः पश्यति स पश्यति यः पश्यति स पश्यति।
हेलो लिसनर्स, दिस इज रविरंगनाथन वेलकमिंग यू टू द 62nd एपिसोड ऑफ भगवद्गीता यः पश्यति स पश्यति। In chapter 13, Bhagavan talked about the creation as explained by Kapila Muni. Indian thoughts have explained the same idea of creation in different ways. In the last episode, we saw as part of chapter appreciation how creation has been explained in Sankhya Karika. The episode ended with a promise to tell a beautiful story, yet another way of describing creation. Appreciation 3. The story of creation as per Kashmir Shaivism. It begins with the idea that the center of the universe is Paramashiva. It is called Bindu, Nada or Kala. Bindu is not just a mark ladies wear on their forehead. It means a point which has no dimension, no depth, no width, no length, no height. Paramashiva is Chaitanya, pure consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, this is Nirguna Brahman. It is Avyakto Vyaktat, mentioned in chapter 8. This is beyond human comprehension, and hence in chapter 2 it was mentioned as Achintayaha, unthinkable. When Paramashiva is not self-conscious, that is, when he is in Nidra, it is Pralaya. It is the point of singularity. In Vaishnava Sampradaya, this is described as Lord Vishnu in Nidra in serpent bed. Time, space has collapsed into that. There is nothing but blackness. Hence Paramashiva is conceived as black or blue. When we wake up, we immediately become self-conscious. After a long sleep, Paramashiva becomes self-conscious. He becomes a self-aware Shiva. This is the first outward movement of Paramashiva. In sleep, you are not aware of your powers. After waking up, you are self-aware. No one else has to come and tell you who you are. You may stretch your hands, look for your morning coffee, etc. You know where you are. You know you are the president of a company or a truck driver or a mother tending her child or a teenager or captain of a football team. In the same way, self-awareness makes Shiva aware of his powers, his capabilities. That power is called Shakti. This self-conscious Shiva is called Prakasha Vimarsha or Shiva Shakti. Shiva is Prakasha and Shakti is Vimarsha, the latent power of Paramashiva, who is the pure consciousness. Vimarsha is reflected consciousness or reflected awareness. It is the creative power of pure consciousness. Shiva is considered as the Chit aspect and Shakti the Ananda aspect of Paramashiva. This is the Ardhanarishvara principle. The latent power of pure consciousness manifests in five ways. One is called Chit Shakti, power of awareness. Another is called Ananda Shakti, power of bliss. These two Shaktis abide in Shiva. Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti are the three other powers. They are the powers of desire, action and knowledge. Shiva realizes his powers and wants to execute those powers. When these powers are in unmanifest state, it is called Maya. It is the universe in an unmanifest state. Without Shiva, Maya cannot exist independently. Paramashiva has become Shiva Shakti. The next evolution is Sadashiva. This is a very important step in the process of creation. Shiva has become conscious of himself and his powers, and this is split into Aham, I, and Idam, this. That state of equal I and equal this is called Sadashiva. This split into Aham and Idam is the fundamental split in the universe. But in this split, Aham and Idam are in equal balance. So far we have seen the transformation of Bindu, Paramashiva, to self-aware Shiva, to self-aware of power, Shiva Shakti, to Sadashiva. Next state is called Ishvara, where Aham is more powerful than Idam. That is, the thought, I am more powerful than the powers I have. One meaning of Ishvara is universal controller or God in general and Shiva in specific. In Bhagavad Gita, it is Purusha plus Prakriti. The next stage is called Sadvidya, where Aham, I, become powerless and Idam, this, becomes powerful. It is like I myself created a product and now I think without that I am not complete. It is like a mother who gives birth to a child and then feels she is incomplete without that child. The subject I forgets itself and gives more importance and emphasis to Idam. If you balance the three gunas, you are in Samadhi. When the balance tilts, you are not in Samadhi. Here, Aham is consumed by Idam, the materials. In summary, in Sadashiva, Aham and Idam are the same. They are in balance. In Ishvara, Aham I is more powerful than Idam, the Prakriti. And in Sadvidya, Idam is more powerful than Aham. These movements are called Shuddha Advana, the pure movement. Even now, at this state, everything is perfect. These are explained in Puranic stories as Shiva and Shakti arguing who is more powerful, and the story ends with both being equal. Earlier, Maya was under the control of Paramashiva. The moment the balance tilts, the Maya power comes and takes over and the tilt continues. As it throws a ball, it keeps on bouncing and reaches the lowest elevation. Similarly, the decline starts from here. The Maya takes over and Shiva forgets who he is. From then, Shiva limits himself. Sangoja happens. In Tamil, the word Sangojam refers to shyness. When you attach yourself to the world, fascinate yourself to the objective world, you limit yourself. Shiva limits himself into 5 limitations. But remember, still Shiva is Shiva. Limitation is called Kanjuga. This is also called Maya. The first limitation is called Kala, form. Shiva imagines a form for himself. As a result of the limitation of form, Shiva, who is Sarva Kartrutvamsi, who can do anything, is reduced to Prayatnatvam, has to put effort. It is a limitation of Kriya Shakti. That is, we cannot achieve anything without putting effort. The idea I can't do that comes out of this limitation. The second limitation is called Vidya, limitation of knowledge. Sarvajna becomes Kinjitnya. All-knowing Shiva has become limited in knowledge. It is a limitation of Jnana Shakti. This gives rise to limited knowledge and understanding in us. As individuals, we only have domain knowledge. For example, economists are not biologists. We don't have knowledge about all subjects. Even though Shiva himself is knowledge, he assumes this limitation. Recall, in chapter 10, Bhagavan was saying he himself is knowledge. The third limitation is Raga. Raga means attachment. This limitation is incompleteness. It is a limitation of Ichcha Shakti, limitation of will. There is the idea, I need this or I lack this, and thus the source of all attachments. Before we were blissful, full and complete. With attachment, the Sukhi has become a Dukhi. Now we are seeking bliss. The fourth limitation is called Kalam. This is a limitation of time. Shiva was immortal and now has become mortal, a victim of time. This gives the idea that we are not eternal. The final limitation is Niyati. This is a limitation of space. Shiva, who is all-pervasive, is feeling that he is occupying only a limited space. For example, I am residing in California and not in Chennai at the same time. Niyati is also seen as an experience of cause and effect. It is a limitation of chit, a limitation of the power of consciousness. All-pervading consciousness is now limited in space. Thus, Shiva has limited himself with Kala, form, Vidya, knowledge, Raga, attachment, Kala, time, and Niyati, space. In essence, being limited in space, time, and knowledge seeks happiness and has to put effort for anything and everything. These are the 5 bondages of Purusha and are caused by Purusha's ignorance about his own nature. Purusha is Shiva covered in Maya of limitations, but at the same time remaining free and transcendent. The Purusha takes on the limitations and becomes a limited individual. This is Jivatma. These coverings must be removed and can be done by the grace of the master with real knowledge. At that time, the Maya is transformed into his Shakti. Continuing, Shiva has become an Anu, also known as Purusha, controlled by all these limitations. Earlier, he was a Vibhu, all-pervading, and now assumes to be an Anu, an atom. It is like an actor taking on the role of another person. Shiva is Nataraja, the greatest dancer, the greatest actor. He becomes a Purusha and still has no vehicle. Vehicle means mind, intellect, ahankara. They are not there yet. That has to come from Prakriti. The initial division of Aham and Idam becomes Purusha and Prakriti and starts manifesting things. Sankhya Darshan starts with this Purusha and Prakriti. This is where chapter 13 started. In science, there is gravitational theory and anti-gravitational theory. If the place is not uniform in energy, then there is a gravitational force. If a place has uniform energy, then there is anti-gravitational force, and instead of attracting like gravity, it pushes all things out. When the three gunas are not in balance, creation takes place and everything is pushed out of the unmanifest state. In dissolution, they start becoming more equal and finally reach the best balanced state possible. They can never be 100% equal because 1 divided by 3 is a recurring decimal. At some point of equality, a disturbance throws them out of balance and starts the creation cycle. The Prakriti unfolds its three gunas. So far, the three gunas were in balance. The three gunas are manifestation of Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti described earlier. Ichha Shakti is the initial stirring of will. Jnana Shakti is the power of knowledge and Kriya Shakti is the power of action. The power or ability to desire a state change is called Ichha Shakti. The power or ability to make that state change is called Kriya Shakti. The power or ability to know the state is called Jnana Shakti. Attachment to the desired activity or passion of Ichha Shakti is known as Rajas. Attachment to the knowing activity of Jnana Shakti is known as Sattva. Attachment to the activity of Kriya Shakti is known as Tamas. In other words, Ichha Shakti becomes Rajas, Jnana Shakti becomes Sattva, and Kriya Shakti becomes Tamas. In some literature, Ichha Shakti is also referred to as Sadashiva, Jnana Shakti is referred to as Ishvara, Kriya Shakti is referred to as Sadvidya. When Shiva reduces himself to Anu, the three gunas or the Shaktis become powerful and start acting. The Prakriti modifies into Buddhi, Ahankara and Manas. And Shiva, also known as Purusha, attaches to this Prakriti and now becomes a full-fledged individual. Sattva is predominant in Buddhi, intellect. Rajas is predominant in Ahankara, ego. Tamas is predominant in Manas, mind. Ahankara gives the I identification. Also manifests 5 Jnanendriyas, the 5 sense organs, 5 Karmendriyas, the 5 organs of actions, and 5 Tanmatras, sound, touch, taste, smell, and form. And from that, 5 Mahabhutas, space, wind, fire, water, and earth. Putting together, element space is connected with the Tanmatra sound, and the power of hearing and speaking. Element air is connected with Tanmatra touch and the power of touching and grasping. Element fire is connected with the Tanmatra form and color and the power of seeing, digestion and mobility. Element water is connected with Tanmatra taste and the power of tasting and excreting. And finally, the element earth is connected with Tanmatra smell and the power of generation and procreation. Starting from Shiva Tattva, all these together constitute the 36 Tattvas. If you recall, Sankhya Darshan has 25 Tattvas starting from Purusha and Prakriti. Now, Shiva is in the Samsara, experiences the Pancha Mahabhutas and all their modifications through the 5 sense organs, processes the external information by mind, intellect and memory and says, I am doing, I am suffering, I am enjoying. This Shiva responding to world experiences and swimming in the sea of samsara is what you and I are. How to get back to that original Shiva state? Nothing fully forever satisfies us in this world. Unless we recover our lost Shiva state, we will not be happy. So, we are looking here and there. Life has become a chore and we are stuck in the cycles of birth and death. We know we have a permanent home, but lost touch with it. We have deviated a long distance, but still we are Shiva. We are limiting ourselves through the five kanchugas. The impurities called malas are due to these limitations, and we search for God and have no clue. Instead, God has to find us. For that, we need the Kripa. The Kripa of Guru is necessary. Seek that from your Guru and attain liberation is how Kashmir's Shaivism explains about us and the creation. Replacing ignorance with knowledge is one of the main goals of Kashmir Shaivism. The creation is explained in Upanishad as follows. At the top is Sat Chit Ananda Brahman. As part of it is Avyakta Prakriti, the unmanifest creation. A sankalpa of creation, Icha, is born. Samashti Buddhi is born. This brings in Ishvara. From that, the subtle elements come about. Up to this, it is all Avyakta Prakriti. From that, subtle and gross universe comes out. The gross universe is the manifest Prakriti. In Pralayam, the Avyaktam alone will be left. Everything else is folded into that unmanifest state. Okay, that is about creation in Sanatana Dharma. Moving on, if individual consciousness Kshetrajna and the universal consciousness Brahman are one and the same, then individuals have no samsara. Why then seek moksha? Adi Shankara gives a dialogue with an imaginary opposition to answer this question. That is my next appreciation. Appreciation number 4. Adi Shankara's imaginary dialogue. Adi Shankara. Samsara is only an imagination, a superimposition. It is mithya, not real. The cause of such a superimposition is ignorance of our real nature. Whatever is caused by ignorance is unreal, and knowledge is the only means to remove all that ignorance. Question. Then, why spend time and effort to eliminate imaginary samsara? Adi Shankara. Because imaginary samsara appears factual for the ignorant. For a jnani, it is not real. For argument's sake, assume the individual has real samsara and Ishvara has no samsara. In that case, does the real samsara of the individual have a beginning or no beginning? If it has no beginning, then it will have no end, and scriptural teachings and moksha is useless. If it has a beginning and an end, then the moksha also will have a beginning and an end. Then again, the teachings and the moksha are redundant. That is, if you say Atma is different from Paramatma, then moksha has no meaning. Because samsara is superimposed and is imaginary, with Upanishad knowledge, ignorance ends and the real nature of the individual is revealed. Question. You say individuals have ignorance and Ishvara has no ignorance. How can ignorant Atma and wise Ishvara be equal? Adi Shankara. Ignorance can take 3 forms. 1. I don't know. 2. I have doubts. 3. I am not Paramatma. Ignorance is in the intellect and it does not belong to Atma. Like the ignorance of color is in the eyes, ignorance of sound is in the ears, ignorance of taste is in the tongue, ignorance of smell is in the nose, the ignorance of self is in the intellect. Question. Individual experiences samsara. Ishvara has no experience of samsara. How can they be equal? Adi Shankara. The idea of a witness is made clear here. Jivatma is pure consciousness plus reflected medium plus reflected consciousness. There is an experiencer only if all these 3 components are present. Absence of one means there is no experience. Reflected medium plus reflected consciousness is the changing knower or experiencer. Pure consciousness is knower without undergoing any change, called Sakshi Bhava, a witness. The witness is never affected by pain because pain belongs to Kshetra. Question. Knower implies action. If Sakshi, witness, is changeless, then how is it a knower? Adi Shankara. When fire burns, does it do any action? Fire is the same before burning and same after burning. Nothing happens to the fire when something is burnt by fire. Yet we say fire burnt something. We superimpose action on fire. In the same way, though Kshetrajna, which is eternal and a witness, experiences Kshetram, experiences samsara. It makes no difference to it. In summary, Atma has no ignorance because ignorance belongs to the mind. The ignorance in mind is superimposed to Atma. Atma is the same as Paramatma. Any difference is imaginary. Atma is the witness without undergoing changes. Jivatma is the experiencer. Thus, Kshetrajna is a detached, immutable consciousness witness. Appreciation number 5. The idea of consciousness in Indian schools of thought. As I mentioned in the first appreciation, Indian thoughts are divided into 9 darshans. Among them, early logicians, that is, Nyaya and Vaisheshika schools, thought that consciousness was a product in time. They said Atma is inert and it comes out during waking and dreaming states and becomes inert in the deep sleep state. It is all pervading. It is a substance with qualities. In the waking state, it is consciousness and experiences heat and cold, pleasure and pain, victory and defeat, has attachment to pleasure and avoids suffering. It has attributes like happiness, sorrow, attachment, hatred, effort and various other emotions. It gets punyam and papam. In verses 5 and 6 of this chapter, Bhagavan refutes this idea that consciousness has gunas. According to Vedanta, gunas belong to Kshetra and not to Kshetrajna. In Kapila Muni's Shankya Darshan, consciousness is not a product of matter. It is independent of matter. Consciousness is called Purusha. Both Purusha and Prakriti are independent and eternal. He also said that the consciousness has no birth and no death, and for each being, there is one separate Purusha. That is, plurality exists in consciousness and every Atma is different. Vedanta took that to the next level. It said that there is only one consciousness. It is Sat Chit Ananda, existence, consciousness and bliss. Kashmir Shaivisham's name for this is Paramashiva. It transcends time and space. With its Maya Shakti, material nature is produced. At the individual level, consciousness is not part of the body or property of the body. It is not limited by body or time or space. It is independent of the body and is not destroyed when the body is. Matter has no independent existence and self is not different from Brahman. The way to understand it is to look at it like light and space. Bhagavan gave these two as examples in the final verses of this chapter. Modern science looks at everything as an object. Consciousness is also looked at in that manner. It is said to be a temporary product which is born of the brain matter. Only thing that is clear is, it is an awareness. It is a mental state. It is located in a certain region in the brain. True to science, there are many theories that are yet to be proven. Finally, appreciation 6. Right perception of the world. In verses 27 and 28, Bhagavan was stressing the importance of seeing the Supreme Maheshwaran in all beings equally. Right now, our perception about ourselves as well as the world is partial. He was asking us to change that wrong perception to which we have become slaves. It is not enough to say there is one God. The vision needs to widen to say there is only God. If we study all the religious wars and other proxy wars based on religion, one can see that the root cause is this lack of wider vision or the narrow concept of one God, which is my God and not your God. Monotheism is only corrupting the mind of the people who can be easily swayed by the gunas of the Prakriti. The day people see this truth is the day when there will be no terrorism and no war. Right now, the war in the mind is my God versus your God, my power versus your power, my country versus your country. This war in the mind needs to be eradicated before we can eradicate the external wars. I remember the following story that explains what we see in the world is our own projections. Once, a farmer while ploughing his land found a mirror. None in his village has seen a mirror before. Think of this story happening thousands of years ago before mirrors were common. The farmer who resembled his father saw his own father in the mirror. He took it home, kept it in his safe box, and started looking at it and prostrating before it. One day, his wife saw what he was doing and looked into the box when he was away. There she saw a beautiful girl and got angry. She thought her husband was seeing another girl secretly. When he returned back from work, duly a fighting ensued, and they sought the advice of the village leader. The village leader saw his own father in the mirror and wanted to take the mirror with him. Finally, a knowledgeable person came along and understood the whole situation. To remove their ignorance, he asked all of them to stand together and see in the mirror. In the same way, everyone sees the world as his or her own projection. No two projections are one and the same, and this is avidya or maya. In short, creation is the evolution of prakriti from subtler to grosser objects, with purusha at its core, whereas moksha, liberation, is the reverse process of ascending towards purusha, the consciousness. With this, chapter 13 comes to an end. Next episode will begin chapter 14. Until that time, this is Ravi Ranganathan bidding goodbye.
Bhagavad Gita. Yaha pashyati sa pashyati. Yaha pashyati sa pashyati. Yaha pashyati sa pashyati.